Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to have here on the program the guy that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he stops by once a month. We've been doing this for a long time, and we have always done this on the first Wednesday. So you're saying, Dave, it's Tuesday. Well, yes. We asked him if he could just stop by one day early. Once every 4 years. And let me just explain real quickly that tomorrow morning here on Focus 580, we decided we'd like to try to do something to react to the result of the voting today, whatever that might be. Celeste Quinn is going to host the show with me. We'll be doing it together. We have some guests that will be joining us to try to talk about the election from a kind of a national perspective, more of a state perspective. We'll be trying to talk about some of the economic issues, some of the issues the next president will face. And there'll be, of course, plenty of time for people who are listening to call in and tell us about what they think about the outcome and the problems that we have to confront and how the next president will meet them. All of that we'll be doing tomorrow morning, 10 to noon. So hope you can join us for that. We didn't want to go an entire month without seeing Doyle. So we said, well, could you come one day early? And he said, yes, he could do that. And it turned out to be very fortuitous because his idea even before was, well, now it's cold. People are using their ovens. Maybe they're thinking about baking. And he said, well, I'd like to do something about cakes, but I just don't want to talk about run-of-the-mill cakes. I'm interested in hearing from people who have really unusual cake recipes. Maybe they have some very strange ingredient in there or something about that recipe that really sets it apart. So that's what we'd like to do. And he even managed – see, the way these things work out, it's kind of scary the way it works out. He found a very old recipe that he's going to share with us for a cake that goes back into early America, and apparently it was something that people made on Election Day. So we have the recipe. We'll talk about it. I'm sure we'll have fun. We always do when he is here. And if you have some kind of unusual cake recipe, we'd be very happy to hear from you. So that's the deal. Have I taken up the whole show explaining it?
You've taken up most of the show, and thank you very much.
Drive safely.
Yeah, see ya. Nothing else to say.
Yeah. So now you were thinking about, oh, it's Election Day. I remember there's this cake that was baked on Election Day.
Yes, exactly. I can't remember when I first learned about election cake, but I seem to know a lot about it. In my mind, I knew a lot about this cake. And so I started hunting in my own collection of books, and I didn't find very much, and I'm still trying to figure out where it was that I read about election cake. Now, it may well have been, but it doesn't seem to be complete enough. I do have a copy of the White House cookbook that was written in 1887, and there is a recipe for election cake in it. And of course, it's so minimal, it would hardly attract your attention. Somehow, I had found out about election cake being very special and very special to Connecticut. And because In the East, in the 18th century, elections. Well, first, the Puritans didn't celebrate Christmas, or there was no Thanksgiving, and they didn't celebrate Easter, so there were no holidays. And they made Election Day into a holiday, so then everything broke loose, and be a lot of people in town, and a lot of gathering around. So you'd go to people's houses and such, and so they took the idea of the cake from England, which was called a great cake, and it was a great cake. The starting recipe is 5 pounds of flour, 2 pounds of butter, and 2 pounds of sugar.
So great as in
big. Great as in huge. And then why would you build a great big cake? Well, you're going to have a lot of people. When are there a lot of people? There were a lot of people in Hartford, Connecticut, specifically. Twice a year they would have mustering day, which is when they called all the farmers in to practice do some field practice and learn how to march or whatever they had to do. It was called, those were called learning days or training days and mustering days. So they baked the women of the town prided themselves in baking these big, huge cakes that you also wanted to make them two or three or four days in advance. Number one, they took a long time because they contain yeast. Because in the 18th century, there wasn't any baking powder. So the cake used yeast, and it still does. It is still made with yeast. And they prided themselves in cooking these big cakes that were kind of like a fruit cake. There's raisins. I put raisins and currants. And I also put some nuts, and there's some nuts in there too. I don't know that nuts are a part of it originally, but it could be over decorated like a fruit cake, or it could be brought down basic minimal. And then I put a lemon sugar icing on it, and I made it in a bundt cake pan, and that is one of the pans that you use nowadays. It used to be put in a great big pan, and so you had you put it in the icebox. You put it in the fridge and leave it there for two or three days. So I made mine 4 days ago. I got it out of the fridge this morning. Great. And it was a curiosity to me why this cake should take on such a significance. And it was because they needed a time. Now, the time for election generally is in May, the 1st of May. Around that particular area. So that was kind of a good time to have some parties and people come into town. You bake these cakes and had them, and people would come over. And as you can see, because I brought my cake here. Come in if you want to bite a cake, and there's any left by the time we get done. It's a very dense fruit, yeast bread, a very dense yeast bread cake, and you have to let it rise a little bit. So it still uses the yeast instead of baking powder.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it's very tasty. It does sort of put me in mind of fruitcake.
Because that's where fruitcakes came from. Was exactly that kind of thing. It's referred to as an English style fruitcake, mm-hmm. which would be not really a plum pudding, but because plum puddings are steamed, but this is a big baked cake. So I had a lot of fun trying to find out about it, and I did find it in my one book. But hello for Google. I Googled it, and I got, I don't know how many things there were, and lots and lots and lots of information from lots of different sorts of people. And in fact, I got confused about one of them because there was one of the articles dealing with the election cake is that it was a part of the liturgical year in Catholic culture. And I don't understand that because it says here their chief red letter day is Saint Election. There isn't a Saint Election. And I can't imagine how they got this written in there other than somebody didn't pay attention to what they were writing. But I hunted all over to find Saint Election. Has nothing to do with it.
Huh.
And it has nothing to do with liturgical year. But anyway, there's a big article and such on it. And I tried to do more looking for that. So that's why we have election cake today. And I have the recipe for the election cake, at least the way I made it, which is very much like the old recipe, except it's cut way back down. I'm trying to think where the original one that most people used or in the last 50, 60, 70 years, I'm not sure. But the Fanny Farmer Baking Book, which was the 1984 edition, has a very, very good Hartford election cake recipe in it. So that's the one that I used, was one very much like that. Although it's terribly hard to pay attention to because it's just all written as text rather than as recipes. But I'll give that recipe.
Let me just reintroduce for everybody, particularly for people who are confused and not sure what day it is, because usually Doyle is here on the first Wednesday, and that would be tomorrow. But we're going to try to do something special, an after-election kind of program, kind of special.
Early voting.
And vote early and often. And this morning, and we didn't want to go without seeing him. So we said, well, how about coming a day early? And it just happened to work out very nicely because his idea was unusual cakes. And he had this recipe that, as he's explained, he's told the story. It apparently was traditionally baked on election day. So we will get the recipe. And also for people who are listening, if you have a good cake recipe. And here, really, the deal is what we're looking at is really we're looking for wacky stuff.
Well, kind of wacky stuff, or at least things that are not as conventional. I mean, I dearly love white coconut cake, but there are other things that exist, and you poke around, and there are ways that you have funny little cake ideas around.
Okay.
So I brought a bunch of those too.
And questions, comments, recipes are welcome. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Well, do you want to
now, especially, I would like to hear from somebody from Hartford, Connecticut. I mean, not straight away, unless they're listening on the internet. But I'm curious as to why but if it affected people as much as I think that it probably did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyone from Hartford who knows about the Hartford election cake, I would enjoy listening to. But here is the recipe for as quickly as I can get it, because I see we've got some callers already. It is 2/3 of a cup of warm water. Oh, and by the way, this since I've got it all written out, and the assistant who is putting these on the internet for us is caught up. I just spoke to her.
Yes, and
so this will be readily available.
Yeah, she's so good. She's been so good and so helpful to us. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because over the course of the summer we've had some people asking about recipes, and I think now that we're all caught up. So if you go to
she was just
the website,
finishing October this morning,
that it'll all be there. So and hopefully all those folks do have internet access. And again, if you don't, well, you know, email us and we can send you a copy of something. But the easiest way is just to go to will.illinois.edu and you can find it.
Good. Okay, back again. 2/3 of a cup of warm water, 2 packages of dry yeast, 2 2/3 cups and 1 tablespoon of unbleached flour. However, in this case, I used white whole wheat. 1 cup of unsalted butter, softened. 2 eggs beaten up. 2 cups of firmly packed brown sugar. And 1 cup of buttermilk or sour milk. And if you don't have buttermilk, you can make sour milk by putting a tablespoon of vinegar in a cup of regular milk and leave it 10 minutes. Okay. And I remember my mother did that a lot. She would always make sour milk for something, uh-huh, whether it was a salad or cake. And 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1/2 teaspoon of mace, and 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg. Then 1 1/3 cups of raisins and a cup of chopped pecans. I tossed the pecans in whole, and I split between raisins and currants. So I had, I probably had 2 cups in, because, hey, if 1 cup is good, 2 cups is even better. Then the way it is put together is pour the water into a bowl and sprinkle the yeast over it and let it stand for about 5 minutes. And then add 1 cup of flour and beat it till it's well blended, which I find unusual, but right, it's done right away. The mixture will be quite stiff, and it is. Then you add the softened butter and beat that till it's smooth, and all of a sudden it got to be a really nice. I was really surprised at doing this, because I've never made a cake that had these funny directions and mm-hmm, and that it was between soft and stiff and all. Then add the eggs, the brown sugar, buttermilk, and remaining 2 2/3 cups flour, and the baking soda and the spices, and beat it for 3 minutes. Now, I did it just out of sentimentality. I did it all with a wooden spoon. I thought, come on, they didn't have too many electric mixers in 1775. Then toss in the raisins and pecans with that little extra bit of flour and add to the batter and mix it well. Divide it into, in this case, it was two loaf pans, and cover it with a towel and let it rest for an hour and a half. I put it in the bundt pan and let it rest for an hour and a half, and then put it in a preheated oven of 350 degrees and baked it for 1 hour and 15 minutes. And it's very, very firm. I mean, it isn't going to bounce back. It's very, very firm. And so remove it from the oven and take it out and let it cool, and then put you can either the coverings on it were weird. One of them was molasses and egg, and I couldn't find out what to do with the molasses and egg, and I still can't figure it, whether that's cooked or not. It has to be cooked. It was egg white and molasses, and that put a glaze on the top of the cake. I'd never run into that as a topping before. So I put on a lemon and powdered sugar because it said you could use a lemon or an orange a bit over it. And, of course, with the bundt pan, it dribbles down over the sides nice and gives you that little lemon taste seemed to be good enough. I was going to put milk in it, but I just used lemon juice and powdered sugar, and it made quite a good icing on that. That's how it's done.
Oh, okay.
So that'll be available for you. You don't have to wait 4 years make the next election.
Okay, so it's okay. You can make it next week.
It's okay. You can make it now, or if you have a bunch of people coming over and you want this cake because it's supposed to last for several days, and it's very, very easy to put into the refrigerator.
Right.
And so
that's great. So that we'll get that on the website as soon as we can. And we should be caught up. So if you'd like to have some of the recipes from the last few shows, go to WILL.illinois.edu. That's our website. Go to the Focus 580 section and go to links, and the recipes are there. We have someone to talk to here on line number 2 in Champaign. Let's do that. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I have both a odd ingredient and a Hartford election cake recipe.
Oh, good.
And it may possibly the source that I learned about it when I was in grade school and made it and took it to class.
You made the election cake and took it to class?
Yes, I did.
Oh, wow.
I found my mom had the American Heritage Cookbook.
And yes.
That's where I found it then, and I just ran and picked it up today. And it says that the earliest printed version, as far as they knew, was as early as 1800 in Amelia Simmons' American Cookery.
Right. That's the first printed recipe.
Right. Now, this recipe calls for, number one ingredient, one medium-sized potato.
Oh, they're going to use potato starch, yes.
But yes, they do that, and they make a sponge with the – it also has flour, but they make a sponge with potato, milk, salt, sugar, a little bit of sugar just to feed the yeast.
Yes.
2 tablespoons of shortening. And this is an old enough book that they give you a choice of active dry.
Now, do you think that the potato was boiled?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Cook the potato in boiling water until tender.
Cooked. Okay.
Drain, peel, and then put it through a sieve or a ricer.
Right. That is the homemade method of doing making a sourdough from scratch. And sometimes it's referred to as potato starch, and that was a basic a starter for the cake in England was potatoes. So they were right with the message.
Right. And then when they add the other ingredients after a rising period, that includes sherry.
Oh, yes. I did put bourbon on top of mine because I forgot the sherry as I was making it, but it was especially to have a little bit of booze in it somewhere. So you use sherry. Good.
Yeah, and they'd want to top it with a milk frosting, which they gave the recipe for, and it's something that I'd never heard of. It was a cook frosting of 1.5 cups of sugar, 1/2 cup of milk, and 1 teaspoon of butter. Cook stirring occasionally until mixture begins to boil. Boil until you get the soft boil stage.
Sounds like a 7-minute icing.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Which sounds, I don't know, it doesn't sound like, I mean, to me it doesn't sound like that would be, I don't think I did that because to me, it doesn't sound good on top of a bread you know, a yeast kind of.
Well, you see, I was surprised. I was anxious to know what this was going to be like, and what my description would be. It's a very dense fruit cake with a bread-like appearance rather than the crumb of a cake. It's very, very heavy, very dense.
Right, and that's the way I remember. I haven't made one now for probably, you know, 40 years or so. But
I want to know why you made it. How old were you?
I was probably 11 or 12. I started cooking at an early age and always opted for baking whenever possible. And so, you know, I looked for excuses to bake things.
Now, you knew that it was an election cake.
Yes. Yeah, see, we had this book, and my mom and I were cookbook readers.
Now, this is American Heritage Cookbook.
The American
yes.
Heritage Cookbook. I can check in a minute the date, I think. Copyright 1964.
64, yes.
Right. So I guess I'm wrong. I have in my hazy memory of, but I graduated from college in 1962. So.
Oh, well.
No, I mean not from high school in 1962.
From high school,
so,
yes.
So I have created a delightful memory for myself that I guess doesn't exist. Though I did do a lot of early baking. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting recipe, and I thought that maybe you had some access when you made it before to the American Heritage Cookbook.
Well, I don't have that particular cookbook, but as I say, I did have my current copy of the White House Cookbook. Somebody gave me some time ago, and that's 1887. Mm-hmm. At least that version of it is 1887.
Yeah, what year? Who was president during that one?
Well, I was trying to figure out because it didn't explain that, because the author is Hugo Zyman.
Hmm.
Hugo Zyman. I thought it would have been one of the misses, and in front there was a picture of Carrie Scott Harrison, but I couldn't locate it. Just somehow, it's the White House Cookbook, not written by the White House.
Right.
Hugo Zyman was the one that wrote it.
I think connected with Grover Cleveland, but that was my mother's. But I don't have that book anymore. But
well, the interesting thing to me is that it started and continued, and we, with your help in the 60s, are continuing it today. So I'm sort of interested in that. In that stretch of time and use, so
okay. Well, great. It was fun to participate. No,
now I'm sure you did not take whiskey and
no.
booze to
no,
school.
No, but there was sherry in the before it was baked.
Yes, yes.
Batter.
But you see, when the soldiers came over, they served brandy and port and stuff with this cake. And when other people came over, it was coffee and milk. So it's just a cake lying around when there's a bunch of people in town.
Right. Well, anyway, I remember whatever students I took it to enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for the call.
I love it. That's from Connecticut. I said I wanted somebody from Connecticut.
We're at our midpoint here. What we need to do is just pause for a second because we need to do this test of the emergency alert system. So this is only a test.
Emergency Alert System. This system was developed to provide information to the public during emergencies. This was a test.
And this is Focus 580. It's our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also happy to have here on the show the guy that we call our chef in residence for Focus 580, Doyle Moore. For a long time, he's been stopping by on the first Wednesday, and we talk about food and cooking, exchange recipes, tell stories. We always have a good time. This time around, we're here a day early because tomorrow morning we're doing something special on Focus. Celeste Quinn will be here with me, and we'll have some guests to talk about the results of today's voting, and also give you a chance to call in and give us your own questions and comments. That'll be tomorrow at our usual time. So we said to Doyle, well, can you come a day early? And he said, well, sure, and have I got something for you? And as we have explained, he shared this recipe that it's a very old recipe. It goes back to England, and then was
17th century
England, brought over to the United States, and was a recipe that people traditionally made on Election Day, because it was a day when everybody came to town.
In the early part of May.
Kind of a, you know, it was kind of an excuse for everybody
exactly.
getting together and having a party.
Exactly.
And so people would make this cake. And as he gave the recipe, it was for a very large amount because you were feeding a whole bunch of people. We have a recipe for you. It's scaled down. It's a little bit smaller. And as he explained, he made it into
a bundt pan.
And it's very good. So you might like to try that. And perhaps also you have an unusual cake recipe you might like to share. It doesn't have to be, election cake, something else. He's always collecting recipes and stories and looking for things that are interesting and unusual. So I think part of his thought was, well, maybe there's someone who has a cake recipe that has something about it that makes it out of the ordinary. Maybe it has an unusual ingredient or something about it that's not quite like run-of-the-mill. If you have such a thing, you might share it with us. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I really, since it, you know, we're really not supposed to make political statements or make endorsements. So I want to be very careful about that. But I think I would like to speak in favor of fruitcake.
Oh, you mean we don't have the fruitcake argument this Christmas?
Well, we've talked about this before, see, and about fruitcake being a big joke and people saying that they don't like it.
Yeah.
And my thought is, well, then you never really had a good one. I think fruitcake is a wonderful thing.
I do too. Its function really is to be one that you make and then you have around for a good period of time and you slice off small amounts. It isn't gobble it down for after dinner or something like that.
So I found a good recipe, one that I liked a couple years ago, and people got tired of me talking about it. And I didn't make it last year, but I think this year I really would like to try and make it again. This was a recipe that I got from Elton Brown, who was one of the guys on the People Watch the Food Network.
Yes.
I thought that it was really very tasty and was good right out of the oven. I did actually do the thing where I put some brandy on it, some cognac on it, which I thought added some nice flavor. But I thought that it was just really, it was very good. You could just eat it as soon as it was cool enough.
Yeah, he has a more scientific way of thinking about the fruitcake than just a fruitcake recipe.
And also it doesn't have, now maybe people think this is important, but it doesn't have those Day-Glo things in there, those orange and red and green things that will glow in the dark for you. I mean, he just says, go out and buy really good dried fruit.
Yes,
and
yes,
it has a big mixture. I think that it has raisins and currants and I think it also has apricots
and
blueberries
plums.
And
dried blueberries and plums.
And it has
prunes,
cranberries and cherries.
Yes.
A big mix of dried fruit, really nice, which you hydrate in rum. which is nice. And then it has a lot of butter and sugar and really good, rich things. And in the one that I made, I also put nuts into it. And I baked it in mini loaf pans.
Oh, yes.
And
those are nice to
really
give away,
good.
Too.
Yeah, well, it was quite tasty. So I'm endorsing
You're endorsing
fruitcake.
Mr. Fruitcake.
I'm endorsing Mr. Fruitcake. All right. We have some callers here. Let's talk with them. Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. So I've got a recipe. I've tried it once for an unusual cake. It's a garbanzo cake.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And it's basically two 10-ounce cans of chickpeas, four beaten eggs, a cup of sugar, a teaspoon baking powder, two teaspoons of cinnamon with some grated orange zest, the juice of an orange, and you sprinkle the top with cinnamon and sugar when you're done. But basically, you take all the ingredients, preheat your oven to 350, puree it up, and you just kind of bake it in a loaf pan, and it becomes this very dense, really delicious, high-protein spicy.
It would be. Garbanzo beans. Oh, well, yes. Garbanzo beans or chickpeas are the Indians use, what's it called? Is it gram? The chickpea flour.
Oh yeah,
and so it would be very much in that manner of cooking. Right. Now I got lost there. It was two cans of garbanzos and four eggs and some baking powder and
A cup of sugar.
Okay, one cup of sugar. Yes,
and two teaspoons of ground cinnamon.
and 2 teaspoons of cinnamon.
With the grated zest and juice of 1 orange.
Zest and juice. Where's the flour? Oh, the garbanzos.
That's pretty much
stupid.
It. Amazing in that regard. So for someone who's gluten intolerant.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, where does this recipe come from? I mean,
it's a Mexican recipe. I've got a Mexican cookbook.
Okay.
Because
garbanzos. Yes, that's the Mexican word. Garbanzos, yeah. And eggs and sugar and baking powder and cinnamon and orange zest.
That's pretty much it. It's a slow baking cake. It's 350 for about an hour and a half. And then you kind of cool it and turn it out and sprinkle the whole thing with sugar and cinnamon.
Well, it's not going to be particularly sweet because that's only 1 cup of sugar in the whole cake.
I guess you could go, it was good, but it wasn't super sweet, no. But I suppose one could add more sugar if.
No, I'm looking for less sugar. I'm looking for less sugar. Oh, that's good.
There
I like that. A garbanzo cake. Yay. Thank you.
And you use white sugar in this, do you?
I see no reason why you couldn't use brown sugar.
Oh, I'd like brown sugar.
It just says 1 cup sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would like brown sugar. In fact, the sugar from Mexico that's unrefined and comes in a loaf would be wonderful for that.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Great.
Yeah. Give it a try.
Well,
that's
thanks
it.
Very much.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate it.
Garbanzo cake.
Well, that's really great, and also that as the caller said, if you could not eat a cake that was made with wheat flour,
exactly. This... And there are a lot of people who can't, and they keep asking me for what do I do for intolerance to gluten. Well, there it is.
There it is. Give it a try. Okay, great.
Perfect.
Let's talk with someone else. This is someone in Champaign, and it's line number 2. Hello.
Hi. Now, just before I start, how many eggs was it for that?
For the garbanzo, 4 eggs.
4 eggs?
Yes, it was 4 eggs. 2 cans of garbanzo beans, and they're going to be zipped up in the Cuisinart. 4 eggs, 1 cup of sugar, and baking powder. I got a BD instead of BP. Baking powder and cinnamon and orange zest and juice.
How much baking powder was it?
1 teaspoon of baking powder.
And then orange
juice
and cinnamon.
Orange juice and orange zest and cinnamon. Yes.
Okay.
All
right.
Do
well,
it.
I talked to you at the market when you were there a few weeks ago. We talked about the cookies you had on.
Oh, yes.
The potato chips. And
the potato chip
dry
cookies.
Dry wine and about persimmons and all that good stuff. I have a recipe I brought back from when I lived in Germany, and it's really easy, and it doesn't have any extra fat besides the eggs. It's called sinking cake.
Sinking.
Well, it's called Versenkkuchen. What it is the batter is really stiff, and you stand apple slices up in the batter.
Oh, in the batter. Oh, interesting.
And the batter grows over.
Yes.
The eggs, so it looks like they've sunk in, and, you know, they kind of leave a trace on the top. You can, it discolors the dough a little bit. The recipe I have written down is 200 grams of sugar, which is 1 1/4 cups, 4 eggs.
Yes.
200 grams of flour, which I've translated here as 1 3/4 cups.
1 3/4, yes.
And 1 teaspoon of baking powder, and then your fruit. So what you do is you beat up the eggs. You don't need to separate them, but you beat them till they're frothy, and then you add the sugar slowly. And it gets pretty, makes it pretty high. And then, let's see. Yeah, you mix the baking powder with the flour ahead of time, and then you add the flour slowly and stir it under, is what it says. And then you pour it into a spring form, which would be like a Bundt pan. And if you want a bigger cake, that would be for a smaller Bundt pan, like, say, an 8-inch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a 9-inch, you can do 250 grams of sugar, 5 eggs, and 250 grams of flour.
Just increase it, yes.
Yeah, it goes you know, instead of multiples of four, it's multiples of five.
Five, yes.
I guess you'd add a little more baking powder, though baking powder doesn't really play that big a role. And then you, I don't peel the apples, I just core them and you know, make them into wedges. And,
yes.
And then you just stick them around in the batter. And the batter will come up about halfway on the apple. And by the time it's finished baking, it'll be all the way to the top.
It'd be kind of pretty to see those two textures, kind of like a cobbler, but then with the fruit showing. That's interesting.
Well, it's got a lot more cake than fruit. It's not near as much fruit as a cobbler would have. It's a sponge cake, basically, with, you know, the tart fruit in it. I tried using it once when I lived there for a birthday cake, American style, with frosting on it.
Oh, yes.
It was way too sweet.
Oh, I'll bet so.
This needs a little bit of tart with it. You don't need any frosting on this cake.
That's good. A sinking cake. I like that. That's new to me.
Yeah, and I don't.
And how do you bake it?
Well, just a moderate oven. I don't have instructions. This is a verbal recipe from
350.
My colleague.
Oh, yes.
So I guess just a moderate oven, and I don't have how they wrote the recipe down in German, but I don't have in there how long you bake it. But
I'm sure it's at least 45, if not 50 minutes, and maybe a little longer, but that's not too dense a cake. So I would think somewhere around 45 to 50 minutes would be about right.
Yeah, it might be closer to an hour.
I
guess it would depend on whether you use the 200 or the 250.
Oh, yes.
And four eggs or five. But I just kind of go, you can stick a toothpick in it because it won't be, there won't be any liquid or
no, it won't be gooey, no.
Unless you get into the middle of an apple. But you can see where the apples are anyway. So, I don't remember. I just kind of play it by ear. I mean, I think I did well to write down the English equivalent. I wasn't sure I'd ever written it down because for a long time I just had it memorized because it's so easy.
Sure.
200, 204.
Right. Right.
You know, how can you go wrong? And then I have another one that is not so unusual, but what we did with it was a little unusual. It's called old-fashioned raisin cake, and it's a recipe my mother had. And my sister had her birthday is in July. No, I had a brother with a birthday in August. And I think in July she made this with raspberries instead of raisins.
Ooh.
In August, she made it with blueberries instead.
Ooh,
of
yes.
And since it's a raisin cake, it's a really stiff batter, so your fruit stays suspended. And
yes.
It'll sink to the bottom. And it calls for a half a cup of butter or Crisco. I used less fat margarine the last time I made it.
Okay.
One cup of sugar. Two eggs. And then half a teaspoon vanilla or almond. My mother put almond in everything, so.
Yes, good.
And then one-third of a cup of sour milk. Well, it says sour cream or milk.
One-third of a cup of sour, yeah, sour
but
milk.
You probably want milk rather than cream because that's about all, besides the eggs, that's all the liquid there is.
Yeah.
And then a quarter teaspoon soda in the milk. And then one cup of raisins or raspberries or blueberries. Blueberries work better because they don't come apart like the raspberries.
And dried ones would be real good, too.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
That would be quick for you, a cup of fruit.
Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? Okay. Two cups of flour. And I'm sure we just used regular. The last time I made it, I did half white whole wheat and half unbleached.
Uh-huh.
I know you go all.
Oh, I go all the way whole wheat. White whole wheat.
I think you have to, if you do more than half, you have to increase your liquid by a little bit.
Yes, because the dough is a little bit stiffer, but right. I managed to suffer through it.
You can alter pretty much any recipe by using half whole wheat without adjusting the other ingredients.
Uh-huh.
If you go beyond that, you need to do a little adjustment with your liquid.
Yes.
And then 2 teaspoons of baking powder in addition to the soda. 1/4 teaspoon salt if the shortening is unsalted.
All right.
So if you were using Crisco, you would use the salt.
Salt,
if you were
using
salted margarine, you wouldn't. And then she has, or this is what I have from her, 1/4 teaspoon ginger, 1/4 teaspoon mace, 1/4 teaspoon cinnamon. Now, I put more cinnamon in that, and I put in cloves and allspice as well. So you can just throw all the brown spices in.
Yes.
Pretty much, I mean, this is pretty conservative, 1/4 teaspoon of each of those. So I probably end up with 1.5 teaspoons of spice. And then you just bake it in. Well, this is one where you cream the shortening, sugar, eggs, and sift the dry ingredients.
And then put the dry ingredients in, yeah.
Yeah, and then you add them in the milk alternately. And then you add, if you're doing raisins, you add them dusted with flour. And you bake it in a one of those square pans, 8x8x2.
Oh, yes.
In a moderate oven for 1 hour. Now, currently, I have a smaller oven. Well, actually, that would have fit. But I did it in a nine inch round pan, and that worked fine.
Now it's a little dense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little dense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good one.
But you don't, you know, with a glass of milk or something, it's really good. You don't really need any, you know, frosting or anything. Sometimes Mother would put a doily on it and then dust some powder.
Oh, that's pretty, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that.
For a little, you know, fancy touch.
Sure.
I'm not that.
Oh, go ahead and try.
I suppose. We'll see how much time. I'm always doing things at the last minute, so I don't have time for the fancy stuff.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, thank you very much. That's wonderful.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. 2 good recipes there.
We have another caller here. We have maybe about 7-8 minutes in this hour of Focus 580. The guest is Doyle Moore, the man we call our chef in residence. He's here one day early. Usually it's the first Wednesday. Tomorrow morning.
Every four years, I adjust it.
And we asked him, well, tomorrow we want to do something sort of special in the way of reaction to the election. And we didn't want to go without a month without seeing him. We said, could you come a day early? He said, sure. And not only that, I got to have an election cake for you. That's a recipe we gave a little bit earlier. And you can get it from our website. You can get it from us. And you might enjoy making it. It's an old recipe, a 1700s recipe that here in the United States, in early America, people made on Election Day.
That's
and,
it.
And we have a caller. 333-9455, by the way, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, where we are, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And just what Doyle said was he was interested in hearing cake recipes, particularly if they were unusual. Not your run-of-the-mill.
Not your run-of-the-mill white coconut, which I do adore, but I thought there's some interesting, peculiar cakes. If we have time, I've got another peculiar recipe.
Okay. Well, let's talk with some more folks here. We have next someone in Champaign and line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I tuned in late, so maybe you've done something like this, but I have my mother's recipe for a mashed potato cake.
Oh.
Have you ever had one?
No, I have not. Let's have it.
Well, it's a chocolate spice cake. Extremely rich. And she always topped it with an even richer fudge ice.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, 1 zillion calories. But anyway, you want the recipe? Yeah. I don't really know how old it is. She was born in 1884, and I suspect that it was probably from her mother or grandmother. But anyhow, it's 1 cup of butter, 2 cups of sugar, 2 cups of milk, I'm sorry, 1/2 cup of milk, 2 cups of flour, and she used just ordinary bread flour. She
mm-hmm.
used cake flour in this, although she did use cake flour in other cakes. 4 eggs, 1 teaspoon, 2 teaspoons baking powder, 1 teaspoon each, and this is the spices, nutmeg, cloves, and then also 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and half a cup of melted chocolate.
A half a cup of chocolate, yes.
Yeah, right. I said it was rich.
Ah.
Okay. And a cup of chopped pecans, and then one cup of mashed potatoes. And she just used the mashed potatoes fresh from the table with salt and pepper and butter and the whole schmear. And if she had leftover mashed potatoes, she saved them the next day, but she warmed them up before she made the cake.
Hmm.
And you cream the butter and sugar, of course, and then add the chocolate and the mashed potatoes before you start putting in the other ingredients.
Oh, the chocolate and the mashed potatoes, okay.
And the rest of it is, you know, pretty typical chocolate cake. She baked it in a sheet pan of about 45 minutes at 325.
325 for 45 minutes, yes.
Mm-hmm. I can email you the recipe if you want to put it.
No, I've got it written down.
Okay, well, I didn't give you all the directions, but they're, you know, very typical.
Well, you did. You told me which to cream together and what to add together, then put the rest in. That's it.
Right. Well, she had, you know, more verbiage.
Well, if you want, you certainly could email it to us because we'll want to post it on our
website.
That'd
be a good idea.
And I would want to make sure that we got it straight, so if somebody tried to make it, they had all.
Okay. Well, I will.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, I make it very rarely because it is so rich, but people just absolutely go ape over it.
I imagine it's very moist too with the mashed potatoes.
It is. It's very moist.
And it has a nice, as they say, mouth appeal.
Yes, it has a wonderful texture.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Great.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank
All right,
you.
Thank you. And we'll try to get one more person here. We have someone calling from McLean County. This is our toll-free line 4. Hello.
Hi. I just have a quick question, not about cakes, about vegetables.
Yes.
And I thought of you, just that I
good.
Didn't realize you were on today, so I just turned the radio on. I'm glad you're there. My question is, when you stir, I was trying to stir fry bell peppers.
Yes.
And I need to get them cooked pretty well because I cannot handle raw bell peppers.
Right.
And it got really soupy. How do I avoid
soupy?
That?
Soupy?
Yeah, like there's a lot of moisture that came out. How do I get rid of that?
Now, so this is a green bell mango pepper.
Yes.
And do you chop it up or slice it?
I sliced it. You know.
Okay. I only use olive oil.
Okay.
And I don't use butter. I use olive oil for the green peppers. And you cook them, and you don't put a cover over them so they wouldn't steam.
Okay.
They would, and actually, you want them to scorch just a little tiny bit.
Okay.
And that gives an extraordinary good flavor. And I use oregano with the green pepper. Oregano, olive oil and green peppers, and that's all that's in it.
Okay.
I've never had any trouble.
What temperature do you cook it at?
Hot.
Okay.
I want it hot and fast. If you're stir frying, you want very hot and very fast.
And is that okay for olive oil? Because I've heard.
Oh yes, olive oil is okay.
Because I've heard that you shouldn't cook olive oil in high heat because it decomposes it quickly.
Well, you're not going to. It's going to be done. In fact, it's exactly 8 minutes.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very
yes.
much.
Yes.
Right. There you go. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
We are at the point here. We have, I don't know, a minute or so left.
Well, I have a quick recipe because I think this is funny, and I made it, and I was totally surprised how good it was.
Okay.
This is called a hard time cake. It says that it came from a time.
You're off mic.
Well, I'm reading it anyway. Okay, 1 1/2 cups of self-rising flour, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1 cup of molasses, and a tablespoon of butter melted, and a teaspoon of baking soda in 2/3 of a cup of warm water. That's all it is. And no eggs. A tablespoon of butter, what? No milk, nothing. Self-rising flour, cinnamon, cloves, molasses, butter, baking soda, and warm water. And that is a knockout cake. It's just called a hard time cake. Says it was made. This is a Southern style cake because it has the molasses in it, and it was made when there wasn't anything else in the house. So there's no nuts, no fruit, no nothing. But it makes a cake that is very, very much. I just finished mine last night. I was the only one to eat the cake too. I didn't share it with anybody, but I finished it finally last night, and I thought it is as good on the sixth day as it was on the first.
So it's basically
flour, cups of flour, cinnamon and cloves, cup of molasses, and a tablespoon of melted butter,
and just a little bit of butter,
and 2/3 of a cup of warm water.
So that would be that I could see how that'd be the kind of thing where you'd say, if that's all you've got to work with, you got the molasses and you got the flour and you have the pinch of the seasoning.
The molasses and flour and seasons and only a tablespoon of butter. I was looking for 1/4 cup. No, a tablespoon melted. Huh. And that mixed into the nicest batter, and I put it in a regular 9-inch pan, baked it for 25 minutes at 350. Okay. It didn't even take a long time to cook.
Well, as soon as we
Sapelo
can,
Sapelo Island hard time cake.
Well, as soon as we can, we'll get these new recipes on the website. And I think, as we said earlier, we're caught up now. So if you would like to go back and get some of the recipes from earlier the summer back to the spring, they should be all there. Thanks to a volunteer who's been really, really nice and given us a lot of her time. We want to say thanks to her. So go to will.illinois.edu. Go to AM Focus 580. Go to the links, and they're there. And we'll back next month. We'll be back on our regular schedule. Though we'll be here the first Wednesday of December, which, according to my calendar, is the 3rd.
Good, because I'm leaving on the 6th.
All right, and and we'll do this, and we'll do this again. And I hope also folks can be with us tomorrow morning. We're trying to put together a special after election show. Celeste Quinn will be here with me, and we'll have some guests and take calls. So that'll be tomorrow, 10 to noon, our usual time for Focus. Thank you very much for being here.
You're more than welcome. That was fun.